How many's happy to be in the house of God tonight? It's almost Friday. It's almost Friday. And I generally, I really look forward to Friday. Friday's a great day. But you know what? I can be happy on Wednesday. I can be happy on Thursday. I can continue being happy on Friday because I've got something that the day of the week simply cannot touch. Amen. I've got Jesus. And you know what song they were singing? It said, if he walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. And man, I was thinking, you know what? Buddha, he can't say that he ever rose up out of that grave. Amen. Muhammad never made the claim that he rose up out of the grave. The Dalai Lama, whatever that is, he never rose up out of the grave. But there was a man named Jesus. Woo! That Paul wrote, he said, oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? You know what? Lazarus can't even claim that he rose himself out of the grave. But there was a man named Jesus that they couldn't take his life from him. He had to willingly lay it down. He said, if I lay it down, I can pick it back up, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Glory. Woo. I feel Jesus in here. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be in the book of Mark today, maybe. I was thinking about this Maundy Thursday, and as I was reading about some, and if you guys don't know, it is indeed the Last Supper, and we get the word Maundy. It comes from, I want to pronounce this right, mandatum. Is that right? Mandatum, which means mandate. And Jesus gave a commandment there at the Last Supper. And he said, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I was thinking about that whole scene right there. Go ahead and sit down for a minute. I don't even know where I'm going to be yet. The Lord's here. That's all that matters. But I was thinking about this because Harper was telling me there's a boy at school. And she said that when he talks about the days of the week, he calls it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And I was thinking how confusing that must be for that young boy to hear Monday, Thursday. And how he's saying it must be 2 days of the week. But I was thinking about how Jesus sat down with his 12. And the Bible says that as they was arguing about who was going to be the greatest, a few of them was, look what I've done. Look what I imagine Bartholomew probably said, well, look what I've done. And they probably said, nobody even remembers that you're a disciple. But look what I've done as Peter and James. And it says during this, thank you. It says that during all this, that Jesus stands up, takes off his coat. And you guys ever heard that sound of water pouring into a pan? I imagine all the arguing's going on and Jesus just began to pour the water out. It says that he washed the feet of the 12, including Judas. Knowing who Judas was, he washed his feet. And when he gets done, he says, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, so you love one another. And I can just see one of the disciples, probably Peter, saying, well, Lord, what if they betray you? And Jesus just says, you love one another. Well, God, what if they ain't no good? You still love one another. It's our job to show love. It's his job to do the cleaning. Amen. And as I was talking this week to a guy at work, we began, and it's funny, you know, it don't matter. We gather in this place, and man, I feel the Spirit of God inside of here, but it's not contained in four walls. If your idea of God is contained inside this four walls, then you've got a very narrow view, amen? Thank God the world is his, amen? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, amen? Even the hills are his, amen? But as we're talking, we began to talk about this area, and he's not from, he lives a couple hours from here, but we was talking about this area, and he's very familiar with this area, not because he's from here, not because he lives here, but we was talking about the drug epidemic that is just destroying our nation, and this area come up. And he was telling me, he's an older gentleman, and he was raising his grandchildren, and he said, man, this stuff has destroyed an entire generation of young people. An entire generation of young people. And the bad thing about it is, it doesn't stop at one generation. It extends to the next generation and the next generation. And as we're talking about that, me and him was conversing. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. I said, man, I know it looks gloom. And I know sometimes it may look a little doom. But there's a man named Jesus. The curse stops with him. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what your past is. But there's a man named Jesus that hung upon the cross, that took everything so that me and you wouldn't have to. That, man, the curse ends right there. I don't believe in anything further than that. I don't believe that it's something that you're born into. If you are born again, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And thank God Peter even said it later on. He said that we love one another whenever he wrote his book there. But Jesus said, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. And I'm telling you right now, love can cover a multitude of sins. Love can cover what the devil wants to break down and tear down. Love can repair what the devil has tried to destroy and what the devil has tried his hardest to break in our families. Thank God for his love wherewith he has loved us. Behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, as messed up, as weird as we are, that God has bestowed love upon us. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to get to this real quick here. In the book of Mark and 15, if you want to turn there real quick, Mark 15, we're going to start reading in verse 42. I just want to read a few verses here, and we're going to go from there, and we'll see where we end up. Amen. But the book of Mark says this. It said, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Sorry for y'all up and down so much. Y'all just hang on. It says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Verse 44 says, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. You can be seated there. But I want to go back to this one verse here. Something really caught my eye in verse 43. It says that Joseph of Arimathea craved the body of Jesus. He craved the body of Jesus. And I was thinking about that, and the Bible only uses this one time, this word, this craved word. And what we find out is that craving is a desire for more of a substance or more of an activity. It consists of a desire to experience, listen to this, you good praisers, the euphoric effects, as well as a desire to avoid the withdrawals of not having it. And I don't know about you tonight, but man, I felt some good stuff in here tonight. Better than any bottle ever gave me. Better than anything that the world ever gave me. There is a joy that is in Jesus that simply cannot be found anywhere else. It's kind of like this craving is when we crave something sugary. in the middle of the night, maybe we'll crave something, a midnight snack. We get a craving that nothing else will satisfy until we get that one thing, whatever it may be. And as I was researching this a little bit, I found that there was three categories of cravings that I want to tell you about tonight. It is a supportive craving, a dispersive craving, and an associative craving. Now, this ain't stuff I made up, because trust me, I don't know what none of that means. However, I'm going to tell you tonight. What it says is this, is that a supportive craving occurs when the body instinctively yearns for a substance to fulfill a nutritional need. It's kind of like, you guys ever heard stories about people that crave to eat dirt? You guys ever heard of that? You always thought it was just weird people, right? But what they found out was that people who have that craving, as weird as what that is, that they have found that their bodies are low in iron and they're low in zinc, so they crave something to fulfill what it is that they had lost out of their body. They crave to fill that up again. Now, Joseph, as we find out in the book of John, that he was a secret disciple. He wasn't an open disciple. He was a disciple, but he was one of those that maybe hid back in the back, away from everybody. But when Jesus died on the cross, Joseph began to crave something that this world simply could not feel. It could not fit. There was nothing else that would have done it. And it says that when Joseph's craving became bad enough that he went boldly unto Pilate and he craved the body of Jesus. He knew that he needed one thing and the world couldn't give it to him, that the government couldn't give it to him. There was nobody else that could have gave it to him. He craved the body of Jesus. Book of Psalms tells us that he satisfies the longing of the soul. You know what's funny is that if we are not careful, we will allow the devil to come in and pervert our cravings in our life. You see, when we miss something or when something is missing from us, we begin to search for ways to fill what is not there. And what the devil does is that he sees that we're missing something, so he provides a substance in form of Jesus. But the problem is the substance always fails. It always leaves us broke and empty, and it always leaves us wanting more. But Jesus said that I'll make a river of life swelling up in you, amen, that will never run dry. He said, I'm the bread of life. I am, thank God, that he is the water of life. If we eat of him and drink of him, we will never be hungry and will never be thirsty. It is only him that can satisfy the longing of the soul. If we read about Jesus here in the Bible, we find that everywhere he went, there was crowds of people that followed him. There was people that came to him hungry. We find a story that upwards of 10 to 15,000 people went after Jesus. They left everything they had. They didn't have food. They didn't have a place to sleep. But they knew if they could but catch a word from Jesus, their entire life would be changed. They craved Jesus so bad that they would follow him wherever, everywhere that he went. There was a crowd that followed him. Matter of fact, they even said, sirs, look, the whole world is gone after this Jesus, and they couldn't understand why that they went after him. He was poor. He didn't have nothing physical to offer them. He didn't have food to offer them, but he had something that they could not see, that Jesus could satisfy what it is that they needed in their life. See, the truth of the matter is, Jesus can satisfy what is missing in your life. And if we're not careful, we'll look for things that will be band-aids, but it won't be fulfillment. There are things that are band-aids that'll maybe fulfill the time being, but they won't fulfill the time forever. And the problem is, because we can grab those things, we will take them. The devil has placed them everywhere for us, that we can simply grab these things and then we're going to be good for the time being, but we're always left the exact same way. Broke, busted, disgusted, needing something more that only Jesus can offer. That same Jesus was the only one that could fulfill what Joseph was lacking in his life. But isn't it funny that that same Jesus is the one that gave Joseph the boldness that he also needed? Psalms 143 tells us this, that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. You know, truth of the matter is, I don't know, this is Holy Week, and this is a great week. This is, as Damon said, this is the Super Bowl, right, for Christians. This is the grand thing, right? Christmas is great. You know, we couldn't have Easter without Christmas. That's all good and great. But Jesus coming to this world did not change it. It's when the fact that he died, yea, rather he rose again and had power over a death, hell, and the grave. That's what changed this entire world. So thank God Easter is it. So it's no mistake that we wind up in here today. You know what I think it is sometimes? When I first came here, it wasn't by mistake. It's that I knew I was craving something that the world simply was not able to give me. But when I've heard about a man named Jesus, he fulfilled what was broken in me. He binded up my wounds. Thank God he healed my broken heart and he brung me unto himself. It draws our mortal bodies unto him. Nothing but Jesus is able to do that. Nothing but Jesus is able to fulfill those cravings that we have. The other type of craving, we talked about that. It was a supportive. The other one is a dispersive. It's a craving that drains our health. It destroys our energy. And the ultimate effects leaves us feeling heavy, de-energized, and guilty. Have you ever been on a diet? Can I get a witness that cravings are real? Seems to be when I'm on a diet that my mother or somebody else will make a cake. And it's always the best one. Amen. And the craving will beat us sometimes. And then when we get done, we take that last bite. It's, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. It's look at yourself in the mirror time and say, you get yourself together. Be stronger than that. The problem is, sin's the same way. Is the devil will tempt us and put something in front of us just a little bite. Just a little bite. But the problem is, the devil's never satisfied with a little bite. Take a bite, just one bite. Well, you've already took one bite. Two ain't gonna hurt you. You've already took two bites, just finish the slice. You've already ate the slice, just finish the rest of it. And before we know it, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see something that we're not proud of. I don't know how many times I've had that conversation with myself. Get yourself together. What are you doing with yourself? Why are you acting that way? Come on. Come on. And yet I get out there and I fell again and I fell again and I fell again. And the craving sometimes for the things of this world is so strong, but the devil takes those cravings and he amplifies them. And Jesus the whole time has what satisfies the longing of the soul. And all we have to do is get to him and he will fulfill what we are lacking. But with so many times we find ourselves back to the same thing. It's funny how something like us, we can crave something that is so good for us, like water. You ever been real thirsty? I'm pretty thirsty right now. I'm actually craving water. We can crave something so good for us, and at the same time, we can crave something so bad. What Jesus does for us is that he will take the cravings that we have in our life, the things we yearn for, the things we want in our life, and he will make them greater than what we could have ever imagined. What the devil does is that he perverts those things, and he destroys those dreams, and he destroys those families, and he does everything that he can to completely mess us up. That's why we yearn so greatly for fulfillment when we're not in the house of God. I know some very successful people that are not Christians, and yet their entire life they spend searching for something else that'll make them happy. And I know some very poor people who are completely content because they have Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's not because of what you have, it's because of what you are fulfilled and satisfied with. You can be blessed with a great family, you can be blessed with a house, you can be blessed with a car, you can have a great job. But if you don't have Jesus, you will never be satisfied where you are. Just as the heart, we always say, you know, the heart can look for love in all the wrong places. We always talk about, we talk about people going places like the bar trying to find a wife or a husband. And we'll say, well, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. But you know what's funny? Our souls can look for fulfillment in all the wrong places. We can put our souls in situations and in places that we will look for fulfillment that's anywhere but inside of this place right here, right now. There is something going on in here, right now, that the only thing that'll satisfy you, you may have found a little relief for the time being, but I promise you, when you go out that door, when you go to bed, you may be satisfied because the day has went ahead and ended, but when you wake up, you will feel that same emptiness. When that wears off, you're going to feel the exact same way. It is only Jesus who can fulfill you. And thank God, it's not a fulfillment that's day by day. It's not a fulfillment that lasts a little bit, and I got to come re-up this thing every now and then. I need to come to church at least once a month to get my worship on so I feel good again. I've got a joy that is so great that it lasts from now till forevermore. That's only what Jesus can give us. You know what the devil will do, though? He comes at us, these dispersive cravings, something so bad, he comes at us not as the little red man with a ponytail and a pitchfork. I wish he did, though, don't you? I wish he did. That way I could be like, ah, I see you. You ain't sneaking up on me, little pitchfork man. I see you. That would be really easy, wouldn't it? It'd be so easy to say, well, that's obviously the devil. Look at him. He got a ponytail. That's not the way he comes to us. Bible says, do not marvel that he has transformed himself into an angel of light. He'll come at you in a way that fulfills the desires that you have while skirting the Lord. He'll come at you in a way that makes sure, you know what? I believe that he comes at you in your greatest desire ever, as long as it ain't Jesus. He'll come at you in ways to get you to bite just so he can set that hook and start reeling you in. And his goal is that you never notice it. If I can just keep him numb long enough, if I can just keep him blown out just long enough, then I got him. What he fears is that you'll ever come to your senses and realize that there is a God who loves you. What he fears is that one day you will wake up from the stupor that you've been in, and you will see that there is a God who loves you and who died for you. Yea, rather, he rose again for you, and he is coming back for you. When the devil came to Jesus and he began to tempt Jesus, he did not come that way. He did not come as a snake, but he came in a way to offer Jesus everything. I'll give you this. I'll give you the world. I'll make everyone bow down to you. I'll make them know that you are God. And every time that he came at Jesus, Jesus responded the same way, the word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And I'm telling you right now that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If the devil can just trick you long enough to get you to buy into it and then keep you that way. That's why if you look right now in this world, man, it's really easy to go out and find satisfaction at a gas station. You can do it. It's really easy to go out and get it someplace. You can get it in a bag. You can get it in a bottle. You can get it from a pharmacy. The problem is, it all runs out. But if he can keep you on it long enough to reel you in, he's got you. But tonight, God has prepared a divine intervention that you are here right now. That you are getting exposed to the Word of God, because those things that temporarily satisfy will never be able to fulfill what Jesus is able to. You know, there's an interesting thing I read about how when we drink Coca-Cola, it's full of sugar and calories, and our body begins to metabolize this stuff, and everything in it starts working because it's going to break down all that sugary stuff and give us energy and stuff. But if we trick our body by drinking like a Diet Coke, the body prepares itself for the extra sugar and the extra calories, and it gets everything ready. I'm going to burn this stuff out of here, but it never comes. And so then the body, because it's prepared all this stuff to break it down and burn it out, then your body starts craving more sugar. I don't know. It's like kind of drinking a Diet Coke, then eating a brownie a little bit later. Nah, we'll save that one next time. You know what? The body knows. The body knows when you're tricking it. Deep down, you know that you're getting tricked. Deep down, you know that this ain't cutting it. My body wants something more than what this is providing for me. My body needs something more than what this life is providing for it. When I came to Jesus, it wasn't because I was satisfied and I was happy and because my whole life was so great out there. That's not why I come to Jesus. I come to him because I was broke. I was destroyed. The world will chew you up and spit you out. But thank God for the love of God that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's nothing but Jesus that can do that. Isn't that funny? Thank God. It's so counterintuitive in the way the rest of this world works. If you're beat up and broken, the rest of the world says, I don't want that one. Give me a better one than that. But Jesus says, that's the one I came for. That's the one I want. When your body prepares for the real thing, nothing else will do. And thank God, prepare for that real thing. And listen, finally, there is what they call an associative craving. An associative craving. It's when we yearn for something that has a rich, deep, and meaningful association with our past. You ever crave something from your childhood? My grandmother used to make an apple stack cake. I don't even know if it was that good, to be honest with you. It's been so long since I had it, but as a kid, I thought it was the greatest thing I ever ate in my life. I've talked to my family members since then, and they're like, that cake was horrible. But for some reason, in my mind, that was the greatest cake I ever ate in my life. And there's been times in my life that I've thought, man, I'd like to have that again. That cake was really good, but it's not so much the cake. It's the time that I had, right? I think that what we run into a lot of times is that sometimes the world will catch us up and we'll walk away. And we begin to yearn for something in our life. You know, when I was there, my life was together. When I was in church, man, my life was good. Whenever I was going to that church, man, my life was great because I was reading the Bible. Whenever I was going to that church, you know, this was going good. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't the church that done it. The church had nothing to do with it. When we walk away from God, we get a desire. Nothing else will satisfy than to come back to Him. That's the only thing that will ever satisfy. That drawing, that craving to get back what we lost, it wasn't the place, it was the person, the man named Jesus. That's what it was about. When the prodigal son left the father's house, the Bible says that he found himself in a far country, and then he came to himself as he was eating with the pigs. And what did he do? He began to crave to be back at the father's house again. Not because of anything. It was because of the fact that he realized what he lost by walking away. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the fame. It wasn't all that. It was the love of the Father that he left that he craved again. He craved that. And the Bible says that as he was yet a way off, what happened? The Father came to him. Sometimes we feel a way off, but the Father is coming to you right now. The Father is here and he's coming to you. You know, there's something else in that story. Bible also says that the brother was angry and he stood outside and he wouldn't go in. But you know what a loving father we have? Not only did the father go out to the one that come back, the father said, or the Bible says that the father also went to the one that was angry. Thank God. Aren't you glad today that God does not give up on you? I am so glad today that God knew what a mess I was, knew what mistakes I'd made, knew I walked away from him, but he never gave up on me. Thank God today. Only God can do that. Hey, listen, do you know, I'm getting ready to close. Do you know that the number one cause for relapses in any addiction, anything you can think of, there's one number one cause, and that is a craving. A craving will cause us to lose it all. A simple craving. And if the devil can, he's going to trick those cravings. If the devil can, he's going to say, oh, you're feeling pretty empty, are you? I got something for you. That's what the devil would love to do. But right here, right now, tonight, we can beat that because Jesus done beat it. He walked out of the grave. I'm walking too. Because he lives, I'm going to live. Amen. Because he rose again, I'm going to rise again. Amen. Because he defeated death, thank God, he's going to raise me from dead as well. Finally, I decided to... Listen, if you don't do this, listen to your pastor. He's a smart man. Thank you. Get him, boy. Now, Damon was talking the other day about doing word studies, and it was really good. It was just really good. And I was reading about this word, and this crave, and I hope I can pronounce this right. It's A-I-E-T-O. It's Aito. Sounds Japanese, but it's not. It's Hebrew. Aito. But it means to ask with expectation. When we say the word crave, there's another part, I think it's in the book of John, it says that he commanded. Now that's awful funny coming from a man to go to Pilate who had the power to strike him down. He had the power to arrest him. He had the power for all that. The Bible says that he went and he commanded the body of Jesus. This man was afraid to serve Jesus while he was alive. He done it in secret. He came to him in secret. But when your body needs Jesus. Somebody said, man, it looks goofy up there worshiping and dancing and jumping around. When my body needs Jesus, I don't care how goofy I look. Amen. When I need Jesus, I don't care how it looks. That man commanded the body of Jesus. And what it means is to ask with expectation, to ask as a demand, to ask with confidence. If tonight, if I ask Sam here, Sam, you got a pen on you? And Sam don't have a pen. See, Sam didn't even get up. If the President of the United States was to say, hey, you got a pen? He's not asking because you may have a pen. He's asking because you're going to go get him a pen. Right? Right? If he says, hey, got a pen? I'm going to go back there and find that man a pen, right? What it means in this word, this crave, it's to ask with expectation. Which other words it means is, we're not asking for Jesus, thinking maybe I'll get him, maybe I won't. Maybe he'll save me, maybe he won't. It's the same word that they use when they say that ask and ye shall receive. The exact same word. Ask and ye shall receive. Sometimes we come to Jesus and we say, God, if it be your will, God, if you can do this, God, if you're able to do this, Jesus tells us to ask and ye shall receive. It's the same word whenever he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified. It's not just a simple ask. I don't have the power to ask. I don't have the authority to ask. But boy, if I put the name of Jesus there, all power and authority is given unto him. The craving of Jesus will make you bold. It'll make you do things that you never thought. It'll take you places that you never thought you could go. It'll restore relationships. It'll restore love. It'll restore things that are broke. It'll restore families and marriages and jobs and kids. It'll restore it all. The devil says, give up. They're broke. They're gone. They ain't coming back. But Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Ask in my name and watch what I will do. Put me to the test. Put him to the test. Don't give up. Don't give up. Ask in the name of Jesus. Boy, I crave that name. I crave the body of Jesus. I crave the spirit of Jesus. I need it to live. I need it to go to work. I need it to go to Walmart. I need Jesus. Go ahead and stand to your feet. If you need Jesus tonight, you're in the right place. Amen. Thank God. If I needed a gallon of milk, I'd be up the road here. But if I need the Spirit of Jesus, there ain't no better place to be than right here in the house of God. And thank God amongst His people. Thank God with His Spirit in here moving. Come boldly. We may sit there and we think, everybody's going to know how messed up I am. Well, I tell you what, I'd much rather people think I'm messed up than to leave here and not get what my body was craving. Than to leave here and find something else to satisfy for the night. It'll last for a little bit. It's going to wear off. It's going to wear off. Let's break some chains. Let's break some chains in the name of Jesus. Let's break those chains in the name of Jesus. As they sing, if you need to pray, you can come to this altar. If you need prayer, I invite you to come. There is men of God that would love nothing more than to pray with you. If you need something done, ask and ye shall receive. We need to ask in faith. We need to ask believing that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe in that name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And no greater season than what we're in right now to find out just who He is as they sing.